Hebrews 13 has a great reminder for us this time of year. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Well, Christmas is almost upon us, a time when we naturally feel more generous, so why not strike while the iron's hot? Today, host Rob West chats with Lori Farquhar of the National Christian Foundation to explore how to do that. And it's your calls on anything at 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Five questions about giving next on MoneyWise. Well, Rob, our guest today is Lori Farquhar, Chief Strategy Officer in the South Florida office of the National Christian Foundation. She and her team help families and individuals with creative giving solutions to experience more joy in their generosity.
Well, that's exactly right, Steve, and 'tis the season for giving. Lori, welcome to MoneyWise.
Thank you, Rob and Steve. It is a privilege to be on your show. I'm a frequent listener on the local Moody radio station as I'm in my car traveling to appointments, and I really appreciate the wise counsel and love hearing the questions from the callers. I've learned a lot from both of you, so thank you.
You are welcome, and we are delighted to have you here, especially since you're a regular listener. All right, obviously, we want folks to be aware of end-of-the-year giving opportunities, but I love the creative giving solutions you provide. And, Lori, they're really for any time of the year, aren't they?
That is correct, Rob. We encourage generosity to be part of our lifestyle. And that's not just your money, but it's truly living a generous life with your time, your talent, and yes, also your treasure, your financial resources.
Yeah, well, that's what NCF is all about, and that's why we're delighted that we have the opportunity to partner together to help God's people give wisely. All right, last month we learned about giving stock with the National Christian Foundation, but today as we head into the Christmas season, we want to talk about how to start giving conversations with our kids and our grandkids. Who doesn't want to do that? And even if some families aren't able to be together in person this year, and I know to start, Lori, you have a great story to share about that. Would you do that?
That's right. I love this story. We had a family that came to us last year, a grandma and a grandpa, and they wanted help to develop a lifestyle of generosity with their kids and their grandkids. And so they got creative. And this grandma and grandpa have 11 grandkids, and they live all over the place, not necessarily just here locally in South Florida. Yeah. And they wanted to teach even the youngest of these kids to learn at an early age the biblical principle that God owns it all. So Grandma opened up a giving fund for each one of her kids, and she transferred $1,000 from their giving fund at the National Christian Foundation to each of the children, giving them $1,000 each.
Wow.
Then she asked them to come to think about which charity that they would like to give to, do the research, figure it out, talk to their friends, talk to their parents, talk to their families, and then come back to her and tell her the story of what they chose and why.
That is incredible. I have to know how it turned out. I love this idea.
Yes, it was phenomenal. So the adventure begins as they go about doing the research and having $1,000 to give away. She gave them a year to give the money away. Mm. And then she asked them to write letters explaining who the charity was, why they gave there, what was the result of the donation that they made. And as a result, many of these kids now are either volunteering at those charities, or that it has set them off on an adventure to find other charities that really inspire their hearts. And it's an ongoing story and one that we love to get updates on.
Oh, that's incredible. And I suspect this is the kind of thing that you could help our listeners with if they wanted to do something similar with a giving fund. Is that right, Lori?
Absolutely. We have a lot of resources online at ncfgiving.com, and be happy to talk to anybody about some of these ideas.
Excellent. Well, I know you have five questions that NCF that you ask everyone you meet with to help them. So just around the corner, we're going to unpack these five questions.
That's right. Lori Farquhar with us today from the National Christian Foundation, the South Florida office. How to be generous, creative ways, best ways to be generous, that and more coming up. This is Money Wise.
Hi, this is Rob West with some great news. A generous donor has provided a matching gift that will double the impact of any gift you can send to MoneyWise before December 31st. Would you help us expand our outreach to teach more listeners how to manage their resources God's way? With your gift of $25 or more, we'll also send you a copy of Andy Stanley's new book, Better Decisions, Fewer Regrets, to help guide your personal financial decision making. Double your donation now at MoneyWise.org.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
Good to have you with us today. It's MoneyWise with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore, and we're big fans of the National Christian Foundation. You'll hear us talk about them quite often. They have offices all around the country to help us be more generous, to be more thoughtful with our giving. They have lots of creative ways to help us maximize our giving. From their South Florida office, Lori Farquhar is our guest today. Rob?
Well, we're so delighted to be able to talk about the great work of NCF. And I know as you guide givers in wise generosity in making decisions on the where and the how much of their giving, you have five questions, Lori, that you ask everyone you meet with. And I'd love to unpack those today because I know for our listeners, it'll help them process their own giving. And the first one is, who really owns the things that we have? Why do you start there?
That is the most important question of all. And the answer is, God owns it all. That's our first principle and the same one that our family used to inspire their grandkids. One of the things that we do with our families at the National Christian Foundation in South Florida is we give everyone a copy of the book, The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn.
Yeah.
And he says it this way: God owns everything, and we are the manager of the assets that God has entrusted to us.
I love that. And, you know, we talk about that idea as being the foundation that everything builds on when we talk about managing God's money, because when we understand his ownership and we put ourselves in the proper context as steward and our money as a tool to accomplish God's purposes, it really is a game changer. It changes everything. And certainly that would include our giving. All right, Lori, the next question you ask is, what resources has God given us?
God has entrusted all of us with different kinds of assets, cash, cars, real estate, stocks, businesses, certain intangible assets as well, like relationships, even connections, visions for things that you want to accomplish in your life. All of those are things that come from God, and he has entrusted us to steward them well.
All right. I love it. What resources has God given us? Okay. The next question is, family should ask themselves, how do we view our resources? Why do you ask this question next?
Some of these are questions that can only be answered by talking with God and your family and trusted friends. And it takes some time, honestly. I know that I've begun the conversations with my kids in their 20s. And it's hard to talk about sometimes, but don't rush the process of answering these questions. And don't be too sure God won't reveal more of the plan to you as you move forward and you trust him.
Yeah. You know, I know you all talk about creating a family purpose statement and really talk about the values that are important to the family, which really then guides a lot of the giving decisions that are made. I'd love to hear you talk about that family purpose statement. What is it and why is that important?
Well, it's really important when you as a family talk about your values as a family. And then if you can really start that conversation and you want your children to share your financial philosophy, you start as soon as you can, even when they're younger. Just like that family I mentioned, the grandma and the grandpa, some of those kids were quite young, you know, 7 years old. And that can make the conversations with your family much more natural because you're talking about it all the time. So you share your values and then you also share with them what shaped your life and how that impacted your beliefs. And you'd be surprised. Kids have no idea, you know, what you personally went through and why you are the way you are. So that's a great way to start a family purpose statement.
I love that. There's such intentionality there in terms of passing the legacy down and really building it around the values is such a great idea. All right, now for an especially exciting question families should ask, where should our money go and when? Talk to us about that question.
Well, it is possible that standard assumptions about building wealth and leaving it behind when we die may be exactly the wrong way to pass on money to those that we care about. The Bible actually says in Proverbs 20:21, an inheritance quickly gained at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. So successfully acquiring wealth is one of the greatest advancements a family can have, but it can also trigger problems within the family and confuse even the most basic communication between people.
Yes, I love that. Well, and the last question for families who want to share an adventure in giving is, how much is enough? This is such a key question that every family needs to answer. Why is this so important?
I hear that question a lot, but I usually hear it framed as, how do I set a financial finish line? How do I know how much I'm supposed to have at the end? And that really all goes back to your family purpose statement, your values. How do you actually view the assets that God has entrusted to you and how are you stewarding them? Mm-hmm. So it is, it's a big question, how much is enough? And it's different for everyone. But if you continue to have those conversations with your family, this will start to evolve. And there's a lot of great resources out there for different types of questions that you can ask yourself and your family members to figure out how much is enough.
Yeah, it sounds like the idea here, Lori, is really just to approach this with intentionality. This is not just going to pass down haphazardly. You've got to really be thoughtful about it to communicate the why and to unpack the values and even give your kids through the question asking process and even a great vehicle like a giving fund, the tools and the way to begin to exercise this giving muscle, if you will, so that they can catch the excitement that we read about in the scripture and really make it a part of their lives as well. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, so agree. Yep. And Jesus says something about how we interact with our treasures, says something about our hearts, right?
Yes,
so,
that's right. I love that. Well, I love that, going back to the story you started with today, that simple exercise led to grandkids that are becoming more and more generous. I'm also so thankful for the work of NCF and all that you do to help folks give wisely. Lori, thanks for stopping by today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be with you.
Lori, how can folks get more information about the resources you offer?
To explore more family and legacy resources, visit ncfgiving.com/giving strategy. What you'll find are resources because our team at NCF loves to come alongside families as they're having these types of conversations.
Lori, that is great information. Thanks again for being with us today. And if you didn't get that, one more time, ncfgiving.com/giving strategy. Now, speaking of giving, Rob, we have some exciting news we want to share with our listeners, right?
Well, that's exactly right, Steve. We are delighted to say that a generous friend and donor of MoneyWise Media has stepped up to say this year we want to help spur on more giving to close the year strong and expand the outreach of MoneyWise Media moving into 2021. And so this generous donor has said, I want to double every gift to the ministry between now and December 31st. So would you consider a gift here at year end to MoneyWise Media? Every dollar you send will be doubled, which means you can double your impact. And thanks in advance.
Great information. Thanks, Rob. And if you'd like to make a gift, visit moneywise.org. Click the donate tab. We'll be right back.
Siri, I need some help.
What's up?
Well, sometimes I feel like I can't get a handle on my money. I mean, where does it all go?
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you plan your budget and track your spending.
Oh.
Like the $3 you spend every morning on coffee.
Well, not every morning.
You'll also get access to free biblical financial advice.
Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Good to have you along today. It's MoneyWise, finding God's plan for your financial life. If we can help you in that way, call right now. Open lines available, 800-525-7000. Back down to Florida a bit, Loxahatchee, Florida. And Dawn, what's your question for Rob?
Hi, thank you for taking my call, Rob. We have Coverdell accounts for our three girls, who two of them are in college already. And I was just wondering, when we access those accounts to pay for their tuition, do we make the payment directly to the college from the account, or can we pay out of our own checking account and then reimburse ourselves for those funds?
Yeah. You can actually, Dawn, reimburse yourself from a Coverdell account after paying qualified expenses from your checking account. You'll fill out a form with the financial institution to get the withdrawal, and then your child will receive that form 1099-Q. And we'll need to determine how much, if any, of the withdrawal is included in taxable income. If sufficient qualified education expenses are incurred, then none of the withdrawals are taxable and nothing needs to be reported on that 1040. If some portion, though, is taxable, then it would be reported as other income. But as long as you're using it for qualified educational expenses, you keep your receipts and canceled checks in case you're audited, then you can actually reimburse yourself after you've paid those expenses. You just want to be able to document that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, Dawn, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Dawn. Itasca, Illinois. Janice, how can we help you?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
I have
ma'am.
A question
sure.
about tithing. So during this time of COVID, we've been attending church online. We do not have a church to call our home church. We are in between churches. So the money we have set aside to put towards our tithe, would it still be considered tithing or tithe if we use that money to give to people around us who have, for example, experienced a job loss or who are sick and in need of help? Should I be legalistic about tithing and make sure it goes to a church body as opposed to an individual?
It's a great question, Janice. And, you know, when we go back to the God's word and we see this passage, and where we would typically talk about that is Malachi 3:10 and bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And we ask the question, okay, well then what is the storehouse? And basically it would mean the depository or the treasurer for the temple or the church in the case of the New Testament church. And, you know,
I think that's really a great starting point, is to recognize that the local church is God's plan A, and that we should be faithful givers to the local church. And, you know, I think in terms of how you approach that, I would pray through that. You know, for me, I would say the tithe should start with the local church, but that's the beginning of our giving, not the end. And so if we give systematically a tenth, which is what the tithe literally means, to the local church, then we would look for opportunity to give beyond that to meet the needs of those around us. But I don't think that's a hard and fast rule. I mean, clearly when Christ came, he replaced the law of Moses with the law of Christ. And so we're to give proportionately and systematically. And I think that should certainly start with the local church, and then we give beyond that. So the question is, where do you come down? What does your church teach? What is your conviction as you study the scriptures? For me, I would start with the tithe going to the church and then give beyond that, but I think you could certainly take that before the Lord and come to a consensus between you and your husband. And this is not about being legalistic. It's about giving gladly with a cheerful heart out of obedience as an act of worship, and seeing God's provision to you, which is, it's all his, but returning a portion of it for circulation in his kingdom. So I don't think I can give you a hard and fast answer, because I don't think there is one. I think at the end of the day, you all need to make that decision for yourselves.
Janice?
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much.
All right, Janice. Absolutely.
Thanks, Rob. All right, let's go west a bit. Clarkson, Washington, the state of Washington. And Wayne, what's your question for Rob West?
Yeah, I have a question about some dealings with my 401k.
Okay.
I recently did something after talking to my accountant and a few things that I have a financial advisor as well, but I got to thinking about something. You know, I'm a little uneasy about the stock markets going up and down. I've seen losses in my own account. I'm 70 years old. And so I really don't have a lot of, a lot of time to lose, for, you know, in a stock market situation, even, you know, conservatively. So I thought, you know what, if nothing else, my company that I work for, I'm able to put away 50% of my wages. So I thought, well, you know what, I'm just going to do that for now and put it in preservation account and at least get 15% on what I don't have that's not taxable.
Right.
Am I thinking right? Isn't that making 15% on my investment, so to speak?
Yes, although you have to recognize you will pay that tax at some point when you pull the money out, and you'll likely be in a similar tax bracket. You could even make the case that depending upon, you know, who's in office and what's going on politically, the taxes could be higher than they are today. So yes, you're enjoying that essentially deduction, and therefore you're not paying those taxes on that money, but it will be realized at some point unless you were to give it away directly out of that account, which you could do through something called like a qualified charitable distribution once that 401k is rolled to an IRA. Do you follow, though, what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
So I think you're just kind of kicking the can down the road. And the question I would ask is, what are your priority uses right now that line up with your values and your priorities? What is God doing in your life? And how much is enough? What is your ultimate retirement savings goal? And if you're on track, or you're even ahead of that because you've already accumulated enough, or just based on what you had been putting in, you're going to meet those goals, then are there other things you should be doing? Can you purpose yourself to become debt-free with a portion of that by realizing it now? Do you want to increase your giving? I think all those things should be on the table as you prayerfully say, Lord, what would you have me to do with your resources? Clearly, though, one of those opportunities, I think, is to sock that money away. And yes, you won't pay tax on it, but that day will come at some point, apart from just a few exceptions.
Wayne, we're glad you called in today. And with that, Rob West, we are out of time, but we'll come back tomorrow and do it again, all right?
Great, Steve. Thanks.
All righty. Well, as you think about your money, what are your hopes? Would you like to understand and manage it better? Would you like to know whether you need to make more or just be more creative with what you have? In Ron Blue's book, Simplifying the Money Conversation, Ron uses his 50 years of experience as a financial planner, author, and CEO of the Ron Blue Institute to help you understand the four H's of financial wisdom: heart, health, habits, and hope. Now, this 24-page resource is available to you when you visit moneywise.org. Thanks for listening. Have a great remainder of your day, and then join us again next time.
MoneyWise is provided by MoneyWise Media and listeners like you.